broadcasting from Pod Bay Simpsons Day, near feet above the sea level at Intergalactic K9 Studios. We loosen your leashes, unlatch those cage doors, and distract your handlers to keep the shock collar of statism from being clamped down on your neck. Can you feel it? Is it working? Can you feel it, Nick and Lisa?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I can feel it.
All right.
Yep.
And as always, the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. All right. So, this is Jeremy. We are the Freedom Fiends. We're here tonight. And how you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
I'm all right.
Caffeinated up.
Yeah, I had power down. We were talking before the show. I powered down another cup of my bulletproof coffee.
Oh, are you doing the bulletproof stuff?
Yeah, I finally got I got myself off Monster. I am now almost 3 weeks Monster free.
Ooh, that's good.
It's very good. I had become very bad with those Monster energy drinks. It really had become a habit. I was up to four a day for.
Oh my god!
Yeah, I probably averaged so close to three or four a day for a good 6+ months.
Whoa!
That's what I was living on. Yeah, and it's surprising because everybody kept saying, "How's your liver? You know, how are your kidneys?" I'm like, "I don't know. I don't feel anything." Like, you would expect I would have pain there or something, but no. Because I try to compensate with
kidneys.
Water. Well, no, because I drink a lot. You know, I carry one of those big like. 32-ounce jugs, you know, jugs for water. I carry that everywhere I go with me. So I try to, I try to balance it out. The same way I do. The same way I would do if I go to a bar, which I don't do anymore. But when I did, you know,
yeah.
I try to have a drink of water for every drink. You know, every alcoholic drink you have, balance it out. And yeah.
Did you do sugar-free Monster or the regular?
No, I used to.
Ooh.
I used to do the zero one, and. Then, for some reason, when I went back again this last time, I decided to try one of the originals, which I'd never actually had, because I used to be a Red Bull guy, and I really liked the taste of them, which is weird, because most people don't like the taste of those things, but...
Yeah, they're really sweet.
Yeah. And, I liked it a little too much, so.
Your liver is probably very happy that you gave those up.
Yeah.
I'd be more worried about liver than kidneys. Yeah. Wow. Well, yeah. So bulletproof, are you doing it with the coconut oil and the butter in the blender?
Yeah, because I never got around to getting the straight MCT oil. And the one time I tried it, I wasn't a really big fan of it. And I always have coconut oil in my, pretty high grade coconut oil in my house anyway, because I cook with it. I brush my teeth with it once a week or so. You can use that stuff for anything. So
yeah. It's
always around, so I figured I might as well use that. And yeah, I really like the taste of the coconut oil and the grass-fed butter together.
Yeah, me too. I didn't really like the MCT oil either. So when I make it, I use butter and coconut oil. Yep. I always have two jars of coconut oil, one on the kitchen counter and one in the bathroom. Great skin moisturizer. I mean, really, I was spending all this money on skincare stuff, and people were like, why don't you just use coconut oil? And I should have thought of that myself, but anyway, better late than never. It's great.
Yeah, see,
my son's like, my grandmother puts it in her hair. And I'm like, oh, I'm not going to do that. But
no, yeah, I know a lot of, I have a friend who moved down to Florida recently who uses it. Like, she was the one who told me about the using it for like as a toothbrushing type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And some other things too, but she uses it on like everything and she swears by it. And I know people are like that, and I don't think it like cures everything. But it sure seems to be quite useful. So.
Why yeah, not, it's good stuff.
How about you, Nick? You putting coconut oil in your hair?
I've been told to do it, but I've had people tell me that it's not a good idea, and I just don't know. I haven't looked into it.
But, your yaks might like it.
I cook
on
with
there.
It sometimes.
Yaks. Yeah. That's going to be a whole lot of coconut oil you're trying to cover your yaks with it.
Buy it in bulk.
Big tubs of it. That.
That's what I'm saying. I already buy. Well, I was going to say to Lisa, you said you have the one in the jar in the kitchen, and the one in the bathroom. I just buy the bulk size anyway, so, and I already spent a lot of money. I can't imagine the size tub you would need for a yak.
Oh man.
A little goes a long way though. I mean, you know. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know how you like you rub it in your hands and it gets, you know, it turns to liquid and
well, I know, but still that's, yaks aren't exactly, you know, tiny creatures by any standard.
No, they're not. That's true. So.
What does it do for your teeth?
It's like it's kind of like a natural scrub, I guess. I don't know. It kind of like strips everything away. It strips all the plaque and stuff that's growing on there and stuff like that. Or the plaque isn't what grows. That's the result of it, right? Sure, I forget how that actually works. But you know what I'm talking about. The bacteria and you kind of just like basically take a teaspoon of it, you know, in the solid form and just throw it in your mouth and just swish it around for like 30 seconds to a minute, whatever you want to do. And feels kind of, you know, feels a little weird the first time because your mouth's a little oily when you're done. But I don't know. I have one friend who swears that he just stopped brushing his teeth altogether and that's all he does. And I've been around him and I can't say I can smell his breath. So I don't know what else he's doing. But, you know, I do it like just once a week to accompany my brushing.
Yeah, I've heard people say it. I have some friends who swear by it. And
it's called pulling. Pulling. That's
yeah, oil pulling. Or, yeah,
oil pulling. There you go. Thank you.
I've heard of that too. I haven't yet to try it.
Yeah.
Now I'm curious though. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll try it and report back.
Yeah. There you go.
It's a homework assignment.
There you go.
So, yeah, I'll be like sending out reminders.
I don't know if you want to try oil pulling with the yaks either. That might be a little messy on your end.
Oh my. Do not recommend.
But speaking of yaks, you're getting ready to go to Porkfest, right? And you're going to be talking about yaks and hogs and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, I got the opportunity to get to speak on Saturday, the last Saturday, like the busiest day. It was cool. Awesome. I guess they were interested in hearing from the dear sweet Yak Emperor about what I have to say. Yeah, and I decided to take the opportunity and submit a form. I guess it's not a form, but you know, Michael got me in contact with the right people, and they were very interested. So we're gonna do that. I think I can't remember what building or tent I'm in, but on 6:30 on Saturday the 25th, I believe is that date. I'll be somewhere in Porkfest talking about yaks and school and the path to freedom and all that good stuff.
Excellent.
Yaks and hogs, the road to freedom, baby. that's awesome, man. Cool. That'll probably be the one speech I actually bother to catch.
And, I appreciate that.
Unless any of the rest of us are actually going up and talking. I don't know. I feel obligated.
Surprise!
Not obligated. I'm sure I'll enjoy whatever you have to say. So I feel obligated to. But you know what I mean? Like if any of the other fiends, I'll be happy to go. Otherwise, I have no intention of probably seeing anything or doing anything but hanging out and doing the shows at night, partying. But
yeah, that's kind of my plan. I'm probably not going to go to any talks but my own.
I'm going to talks, but I guess I'm a nerd. I'm going to talks. There's one about the Milgram experiments that I have to go hear.
Oh, I think that would be
okay. I may follow you to that one. Interesting.
Yeah, I'll drag you guys to that one. Well, I mean, it's about getting people to do things. So,
the irony. She's gonna.
I know. So,
Do you have like a time limit, or are you just kind of free forming it, or you're allowed to do whatever you want?
They give me an hour and a half.
Wow.
So I have an hour and a half, and my plan is I'm going to give, I think I can do 45 minutes of straight talking. I think maybe not, but I'm going to leave the rest up for questions and discussions. That'll be the most interesting part, I think. Right. Cause I don't really like to hear people lecture. I'd rather get to talk to the audience, so that's what I'm going to try and do for most of the time. But I want to definitely talk about, you know, what I've done with the farm and what I'm planning to do and what I've done, how I got out of school and things like that. I think it'll be a lot more in depth than anything I've talked about on the podcast or on radio.
Yeah, I think people will have a lot of questions for you.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. I will come listen and ask. My son's already sick of hearing about you. I'm like, but this guy is young and he did this. Yeah.
Why can't you be a yak farmer like
Nick? I'll come in with the whole report. So this is how he did it. And Oh, I don't imagine my son ever being any kind of farmer. He's a little too, I guess, high maintenance for that. But
high maintenance. Does he listen to this show?
No, neither of my kids do. I would like them. Well, when my son is here with me, he hears it. You know, he doesn't have a choice because I'm loud and I'm, you know, this pretty open space here. So he'll text me during, like, could you just shh? You're too loud. And I'm like, shh, just leave me alone. I'm busy. Yeah. But, you know, he just turned 16. He'll be driving on his own soon, and probably I won't see him anymore because you know how that is. He'll doing his own thing. Yeah.
I barely remember those days.
Yeah, me either.
They're the best. Like last year for Nick.
Just rub it in, yeah. Last year. Yeah, that was, you know, feels like, gosh, it was back when the dinosaurs were roaming the earth for me. I mean, it was just so long ago. I don't remember. It's weird because I went to my parents' house a couple weeks ago, and we were, like, cleaning out, you know, stuff in the basement because they want to move, and they're like, come get all your stuff that we're storing for you, that we've been storing for you for 30 years or whatever since I moved out. Okay, it hasn't been that long. I'm not that old. But but all my old albums, you know, like, I don't know, like U2 and Duran Duran and all the 80s stuff, and I'm like, oh, wow. I feel old. I barely remember any of that. But enough about how old I am.
Oh, no, please go on. This
back
is
to the Pork Fest thing, yeah.
Yes.
Let's talk about Pork Fest or anything but ducks, anything.
We'll let you go this time. So you're gonna so your goal is to inform and then try to engage. That's that sounds like a good plan. I like that.
Yeah,
me too.
I think it'll be real
good
fun.
Plan.
Yeah,
but I mean, you shouldn't. You've done. I mean, I know you've done. What have you done? Like 60 something, 70 shows a year, or something like that. 80 now.
I think I'm 85 this week. I think.
Oh, wow.
Nice. But yeah. But you've done at least a couple, at least some of those, like solo, yeah. Right? You haven't always had. So yeah.
Yeah, definitely not half of them, but maybe about 20 of them. And
yeah, no, I know, but enough that pulling off 45 minutes to an hour of talk shouldn't really be an issue for you, right?
Yeah, I think it might be a little bit of a challenge, but it'll definitely. I think I can do it. I can pack enough information. I'll have to start working on my speech now, my presentation
there you
now.
Go. All right, well, you can start practicing when we head to the market.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends Radio Show. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgoristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agorist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agorist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, go with AgoristHosting.com.
I stumbled across earlier today that just made me mad. Oh, as a dog, an animal enthusiast, as it were, a canine professional, behavioralist. Oh, that's just so. I feel like Peter Griffin. This, you know, what grinds my gears? This grinds my gears. It really does. The title of this article, this came from Vice, and it's Inside the Luxury Fat Camp for America's Wealthy Dogs. And the very top picture is a very, very, very rotund, what looks like a shepherd mix, maybe, or it may have been just a shepherd at one point. This dog is so large. Oh, my God. It just...
Yeah.
This place is in Morristown, New Jersey, and it's a state of the art spa for pets. And the line, now this is from the article, and I quote: "It caters to the same people who might give their dog a bark mitzvah."
Yeah.
meaning, you know, basically, I don't think they're just specifically saying Jewish people, but I think they're saying anybody who has, you know, money who would spend it on lavishly on parties, you know, for their children or other people in their lives and stuff like that. Basically, the very well-to-do. Now, I know people like this. I do cater to some people like this, although I've done less and less over the years because the longer I've been in the business and the more secure I've gotten with my client base, I've been able to say no a lot more often. And people that just want to spoil their dogs and don't actually care for their real well-being, I can do without.
Yeah,
and
that's
what it seems like this place kind of is. On one hand, you know, it starts off by talking about that, you know, it's a big facility and they have all these amenities like a heated indoor pool, which sounds kind of funny, but it actually is. You know, when I worked at the last animal hospital I worked at, they actually had an underwater treadmill for dogs for therapy for dogs that had reconstructive surgery on their knees or cruciate surgery, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, swimming actually can help dogs in that instance, so that makes sense. And it's, you know, just like it's a good exercise for humans, it can be a good exercise for dogs. It has, you know, luxury suites, room service, which I can't imagine what they're feeding them. You know, of course, the homemade treats, doggy tuck-in service, and they have doggy yoga and treadmills, which I approve of. Because I actually train some of my clients to have their dogs run on treadmills if they're in situations that they absolutely can't walk them for some reason. More on this later.
Yeah, I'm curious about
and
this.
A grooming facility, which is, you know, very, you know, with giving them pedicures and stuff like that, which sounds nice and lovely. And if you're willing to spend that type of money, great. But here's the problem that I run into, because they say it's a fat camp with, you know, personalized exercise plans, but this is the attitude of the marketing manager. And again, I quote, "There could be a lot of reasons why pets are overweight. Nowadays, everybody is very busy. They're working, or maybe they don't have time to exercise their pets." If you don't have time to exercise your pets and he gets to look like the size of the dog in the picture at the top of this article, you might have more serious issues, because that's just insane. You should not have an animal if you're that busy that your dog gets that fat. I can understand life getting in the way sometimes, but that's just ludicrous. And that's like this attitude, this wishy-washy, oh, people. No. You're lazy. You are a lazy dog owner and you are not doing right by your dog. I'm sorry. Like I said, sure, for the first year or two, I bit my tongue in my business on the pet sitting end of it. But you can't do that for very long, because otherwise you end up with these pets that are just, that are in this condition. It's so horrible that people let them get this way, you know? Yeah. They talk about this one dachshund who, when they got there, 28 pounds. A dachshund, those little weenie dogs, they're supposed to be 11 pounds.
That's
okay.
Yes,
this dog was almost three times the size of a normal dachshund.
Oh, I know somebody who has a puggle, and she was very, very overweight. And I thought it was the saddest thing. And I don't, it's, you know, I have a lot of experience in weight loss for humans. I don't really know. I know what causes, you know, I know many reasons that humans become overweight, but what is it, just overfeeding and lack of exercise, or something else going on? I mean,
it's lack of exercise and what they're feeding them.
Yeah, what are they, what do people feed? You know, table food? Like, what is it that causes dogs to be overweight?
Table food's not necessarily the worst thing. It can be, but we may have to talk about a little bit more about that when we get back from this trip to the market.
Right.
It's they're feeding them junk food. They're feeding them the equivalent of potato chips. Learn more.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
probably making fat.
Aw. And
sorry, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. I was just going to call you our unlicensed, unregistered vet.
I'm the Tamagotchi vet, apparently.
The Tamagotchi vet, yeah.
It's my next career path. Before the break, we were talking about the food and what people feed there. What makes the dogs fat? And I was saying that it's a combination of the lack of exercise, but not necessarily overfeeding, but just what they're feeding, because the average person will just feed their dog whatever dog food they come across. If it looks like, you know, dog food, okay, sure, dog food. And, you know, most people are kind of cost conscious because, well, mm-hmm. the economy stinks and has for a very long time. And unfortunately, if you're cutting corners in general, you know, you have to make priorities. And no matter how much you love your dogs, if you have kids, they kind of have to eat before the dog. So the dog gets pushed lower on the list. So if the quality of the dog food has to slip, it slips. And, you know, a lot of people also end up buying their food when they buy their own food, because there's food you can buy in the supermarket. And mm-hmm. unfortunately, these brands are in general kind of dubbed supermarket brands by people in the, you know, canine industry. And they are the equivalent of eating potato chips instead of eating like a meal. Or, you know, maybe potato chips or chips in general with like a little bit of like meat in there, like maybe some nachos.
Oh, no.
So you get like a little bit of nutrition. You know, you get the cheese, so you get a little bit of dairy.
Yeah.
You know, it's processed, but calcium. Still, you know, that's really what it is. Like, you know, all the stuff you ever see, the commercials for on TV, the big stuff, all the ones. Basically anything you can buy in a supermarket mm-hmm. is absolute garbage, because it's, you know, it's got like meat maybe and some veggies and stuff, but it's mostly fillers. And if you read the ingredients, like if there's chicken in there, it'll be way down the list. Like you'll run into all this other stuff first, rice, grain, just like those
corn,
things are not necessary. Yeah,
yeah.
Just like those things are really not great for our systems. They're not very good for dogs either, you know? So, I mean, there's higher end stuff you could feed your dogs. It's more expensive, obviously. You know, I happen to partner with such a company in my business, and they make an all-natural dog food that the number one ingredient is the chicken that they use in it, and it's all chicken and vegetables and stuff. It's created by a veterinarian, and it's designed to, it has absolutely no fillers in it whatsoever. And the actual design of this specific food was, this particular vet wanted to find a way to get the same amount of nutrients and everything and have the dogs satiated, but have to have them eat less.
Right.
And the way she created this stuff, I mean, my dog was eating, even of, you know, other high quality food before this, she was eating 3 to 4 cups a day of, you know, because she's a 50 pound dog, but she's solid muscle, and we exercise a lot because she comes to work with me and we walk a lot. But she, you know, she was still eating 3 or 4 cups a day. We switched to this stuff, and within 4 to 6 months, I think she was down to 2, maybe 2.5 cups a day. And she hasn't lost a single pound now in 6+ years that she's been on it.
Nice. So, yeah, when I had my border collie, I took him to a holistic vet, and she recommended it might be the same brand, starts with a W. That's what we gave him. And, you know, a border collie is full of energy anyway, so he was always exercising. But we liked that one, and he really liked it too. And
yeah,
I felt good about giving him that, because it was, you know, my background's in nutrition, so sure. I'm reading the ingredients of all the dog foods. Like, so I finally asked her, you know, which one do you recommend? Because I know about human nutrition, not so much about canine nutrition. And she recommended that one, and worked well for him. He's, I don't know, he's like 14 now.
Wow. Yeah, well, I mean, a raw food diet is actually, or at least a partial raw food diet is actually very healthy for dogs too. I mean, that involves a little more work and a little more, sometimes more money too. But, you know, I mean, they need, they're carnivore. I mean, they are technically omnivores, but they're more carnivorous than anything. They like meat. They like stuff like that, you know? And the more natural and less antibiotics and all that other garbage that's in it that's actually not that great for us either is good for them too. So yeah. I wish more people, you know, but that's where it comes down to. So many people feed their animals the wrong things, and then they give them treats for everything, and the treats they give them the same thing. The treats are even worse. The treat, like the milk bones and stuff like that, that's all garbage. Mm-hmm. It's all snack food essentially. It's not, you know, anything good. And again, there are other options. And that was the one saving grace of this article for me, was there were a couple of people that were totally trashing this, and they were veterinarians that were like, this is insane. One of them actually, I think I don't think he's actually a vet, but he's the manager at a veterinary clinic. And the actual quote, her actual quote is, "This is crazy. Pets didn't get fat by themselves. Fat camp may help them slim down, but it's the owner that needs to be educated on how to maintain healthy weight for pets," which is exactly the point with anything when it comes to dogs. I say the same thing about behavioral issues. You know, there's mm-hmm. a joke with the pet whisperer, the dog whisperer, Cesar Millan, that he says that he doesn't train dogs. He re-educates dogs. He trains the humans. Because it's the humans that are almost always the problem. And this is just another case of that. That, you know, from a behavioral standpoint, 99% of the time, it's human error. Mm-hmm. It's not the dogs. Dogs are just being dogs. They're just reacting on instinct.
Sort of like parents, right? Of young kids.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Peaceful dog ownership.
Yeah, because that gets me into a whole nother realm. But you know, the same thing. It's not really effective to beat your dogs either. It does, just like, you know, it doesn't really have the desired effect as per that study, that 50-year study that just came out. Mm-hmm. When beating your kids, mm-hmm. it doesn't have the desired effect. It doesn't. All it does is it may get the result in the immediate that you want. You know, but all it does is make them afraid of you. And in certain dogs, they could just be fearful for the rest of their lives and just, you know, just skulk away from anybody. Anytime somebody even raises their hand to grab something out of a cabinet above their head, they'll just react and they won't do anything. Other times they can get extremely vicious because of it, and you can't really blame them. So, you know, those things don't work, but. So like I said, I mean, the fact that these things are open, and mind you, now as a capitalist, I don't begrudge these people. I just want to make this clear. I don't begrudge the people of the Morris Animal in Morristown, New Jersey, of having this business. I do not at all. Not whatsoever. By all means, if you can make money somehow and this is a legitimate business, then go for it. I just wish they wouldn't be so, I don't know, have the kid gloves on when it comes to their people when they make quotes like this in these mm-hmm. articles that say, you know, oh, there's so many reasons. People are just busy. No. I mean, you don't have to be as upfront and blunt as I am when I'm like, yo, you're lazy. Stop being lazy. But there's ways to say that. I'm sure Nick, who, you know, with your nonviolent communication and stuff, would have a much, much better ways to present that to somebody. You know, do you think you come up with something that I could say that a better way to people?
That's hard. I'm not as versed in NBC speak or scripts as some people, but there probably is some other ways that you could do that.
Yeah, instead of screaming, you're lazy.
Yeah. Maybe yeah. something like how, ask a series of questions on how.
Oh, there you go.
You just, that's kind of, this seems to be the best way of getting people to do things, is trying to make them realize it themselves through a series of questions.
Yeah, that's how I did it with humans when I was when I worked in the weight loss industry. You know, it's like Nick said, ask them questions, try to figure out what's going on and what they're thinking, and figure out why they're doing things the way they are, and then maybe present, you know, you build on that and keep asking more questions and get them to kind of figure it out, and then the light bulb goes on and they figure it out, hopefully.
Yeah, you would hope. Yeah.
Then you have to be blunt if that doesn't work and say, all right, look, what you're doing right now. Well, I've had to do that with people over the years. You know, it was like, what you're doing right now, is it working for you? Why do you keep doing it? You know, like my big thing with people is the scale. I can't stand the scale. I don't think anybody should weigh themselves ever. And that's a whole other thing that I won't digress into in detail. But, you know, people will say, like, I weighed myself and I'm up a pound. And I'm like, I told you, you know, two months ago to throw your scale out the window. Why is it still in your house? Yeah. So sometimes you have to, I think, just tell it like it is. But preferably as a last resort, I guess.
Yeah. Or you got to. Just got to cut ties.
Yeah, you know, that I mean, too.
Right. Yeah, I get that. There's only so many times you can tell people stuff.
I know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it gets frustrating after a while.
Yeah, I mean, I get that in my business, I do get that because I've done that from the behavioral end where I try to explain it, you know, or the nutrition end now because, like I said, I partner with the company that the food that my dog eats is what I promote to other people, and I didn't just start. I mean, they offered me a partnership originally, and I was like, no, I'll test that out on my dog first, and had great results on my dog and the other dog we had at the time too. And for like 6 months, I was like, oh, okay, great, I'm sold. And now I'll promote it. But I see that with people, you know, and I try to give advice, and I don't try to push. And it's funny that you said that with the questions, that because, you know, it's basically going all Socratic on them. And mm-hmm. But it's essentially who's what. It's I actually do that already. I try to, at least. But there's just some people you come across that really are lazy dog owners, you know. Mm-hmm. Some people really do mean well, and some people really do just have busy lives and either got, you know, it's more often than not, like they get the dog for the kids and then the kids lose interest and blah, blah, blah. And then it's somebody's got to take care of the dog and they try to find time for the dog. But there's other people, and especially like the type of people that this place is catering to, that are just so lazy. And it's just like you could tell them and tell them and tell them, and they'll nod their head and they'll smile at you and, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And the next time you see him, not a darn thing has changed.
Some of those people, I think, especially with the small dogs, it's like the dog is an accessory rather than, you know, like a living being that's part of their family.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Carrying around a little person's.
Yeah, well, that's the worst. Oh. It's a dog, not a pocketbook. Please not treat the dog that way. Don't put him in clothes either.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Are you sick of seeing peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
We're back. I think I'm gonna get off my doggy soapbox.
We can talk about some horses now.
Yeah, we'll keep the animal train running though. So what do you got for us, Lisa?
Well, earlier today I saw this headline, and I'll admit something really nerdy about myself that, you know, some people might already know, but I'm not sure if it's ever come up before. Not only do I like ducks, I like unicorns. So I saw this headline, Unicorns, Clowns, and Music. U.S. airports struggle to ease frustration amid long TSA lines. And there's this picture of this adorable little pony with like flowers on it and a little pink mane and a pink bridle. And it's not a unicorn, so I don't know what the headline was misleading, and I'm kind of upset. But yeah, apparently the TSA is, you know, I think most people have heard about this by now. The TSA is really causing a lot of backups at airports now with security theater, you know, antics. Yeah, so they're trying to appease people now. And so they're bringing out puppies, mini horses, clowns, and musicians at terminals to try to bring fun moments to massive, not so fun TSA lines. Now, the horses are little therapy horses, which I think is adorable, but I don't know that I think it's fair to bring these horses to airports with disgruntled travelers, and I love horses, but I don't know if this could appease me dealing with the TSA. But
well, my first My first question would obviously be, who's paying for this? Mm-hmm. I mean, it says they're from a, you know, they're from a therapy horse program, but are they just donating their services? Because I mean, according to the article, this is already happening in a couple of different airports, but mm-hmm. it all seems to be, I guess, a local organization in that area is connected to it. So I don't know if they're contracting them out, if they're offering their services, but that would be my first question. Who the heck's paying for this?
That's a really good question. I didn't even think about that. I don't know. Maybe they donate their time to, maybe it's a promotional thing for them, you know, like kind of you come here and do this and it gets publicity for your program.
That's what it sounded like they were doing with the clowns, but I'm not sure about the horses, but it kind of seems like they're doing it for free, at least the clowns were.
I don't know how I feel about clowns when I'm already, I'm not a fan anyway. Mm-mm. I like snakes better than clowns. I actually like snakes, but that's, you know, I'm a little bit afraid of spiders, and I'd rather, I think, hang out with spiders than clowns. Clowns just really creep me out.
Spiders over clowns.
Yeah, I would rather. I would rather hold a tarantula, I think, than hang out with a clown, especially in an airport where I'm already stressed out and probably tired. And I just don't know if the clowns are a good idea. I don't know many people who like clowns.
Mm-mm. They're terrible.
They should have the clowns do the pat downs. Like they should do the.
Somebody's gonna get somebody.
It's really traumatize everyone.
There'll be a lot more punches being thrown. I have a feeling if a clown tries to pat somebody down.
I mean, I would pay to see that.
Should I say an actually dressed clown? Because I mean, you could say they're kind of going with truth in advertising with the whole clown angle. That's what TSA basically is, you know. But I think if they're dressed as a clown, there might be a lot more agitated patrons that would just start swinging. I would be one of them, although I don't fly anymore. I try to avoid it at all costs.
Good idea. Yeah, me too. I'd rather
I don't know. Like I said,
a couple of days.
I just tried scanning through this again. Was that like, what's he saying?
I don't think that the magic tricks or whatever, the clown tricks, they would be enjoyed in the line. They're pulling out the flowers and whatnot. Your shoes. Oh, what do you have here, sir?
Hey, what's he hiding? What are you hiding, sir?
Pulling out the handkerchiefs. No,
it's not. See? How can you hate clowns, Lisa? They're so joyous, and they bring so much. They bring, you know, I left children. All that happy nonsense. Well, you're not alone. I know a lot of people do have phobias with clowns.
Well, I don't want to say it's a phobia. Let's not get carried away.
Well. All right, so you're not in that category.
But no.
You're, not clown friendly. How's that?
Yeah.
Well, you know, if you like snakes, maybe I'm going to bring my snake to Horror Fest instead of Murder Dog. I went up to keep us a close eye on Onyx.
Oh, yeah, I remember the story about Onyx.
Are you tired of theorists talking about the free market as a cure-all for every problem without first-hand experience of how the market actually works?
Well, the Free Coast Financial Radio app gives you wall-to-wall shows by hosts who not only understand the market,
but tell you how they make money in a variety of investment and artistic endeavors.
The Free Coast Financial Radio app for Android is 24/7 streaming audio content on finance, liberty, and technology from the coastal region of New Hampshire.
Because there's a lot more to New Hampshire than just Keene. Free Coast Financial Radio. Useful information, compelling personalities, and superior audio quality.
The Free Coast Financial Radio app is covered by the BIPCOT NoGov license.
Go on the Google Play Store
or on Amazon
and search Free Coast, all one word.
And please rate and review.
Worms.
This is the Freedom Fiends. broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's Low Orbit Ion Cannon, high atop Financial Peace Plaza on the artificial satellite Live Pair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. Mm-hmm. So we were talking before about the TSA, everyone's favorite government agency. And there's a tweet that I saw on Twitter, of all places, earlier tonight that cracked me up. I know, go figure, right? What are the odds? So seriously, I would rather the TSA dress up as clowns than in those ridiculous mall cop get-ups. Pretty much sums it up for me.
Truth in advertising, like I'm talking about.
Yeah. Great minds.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, yeah. So maybe given them enough attention tonight.
there was a couple that were in the article that I saw that were actually, they were kind of funny too. Is there anything worse than the 2-hour wait at the TSA lines? San Diego Airport plans to add clowns. Or then the other one was San Diego Airport adding clowns, stilt walkers, and jugglers to entertain those stuck in long TSA line. Why make the problem worse? Yeah.
Do we really want to aggravate a situation because, you know, a lot of people aren't big fans of clowns, like we were saying earlier. So do we really want a bunch of agitated people who are tired and frustrated and cranky, you know, I guess it's good, like you said, mimes would be worse, and I agree. I mean, I can't imagine a mime getting up in your face when you're already totally
annoyed. I would violate the nap all over that mime, I'm sorry. You have an issue with clowns, I have an issue with mimes. It's just it's a sordid past. I don't want to get into it right now. But anyway. Yeah. Well, see, even beyond the adding to the already irate passengers' reasons to be agitated, just the fact that they're literally trumpeting out the circuses. Mm-hmm. And you said before, you were saying during the break that there was some places some of them were giving out candy. You can equate that to bread. They're literally trumpeting out the bread in circuses to distract you from the fact that you and or your children may be, well, let's just put it as nicely as I can, molested by some random guy who got a job working for the government, where he wouldn't have been able to get a minimum wage job anywhere else most often. I've seen a lot of the people that work in there, they just don't care, or they, I don't know if they know how to care, they're just so lifeless.
And some of them, maybe it's just me because I'm getting older, but some of them look really young too. Like, I'm like, you still have time. Like, stop now while you can. Go do something. Go do something else. You got your whole life ahead of you. Get out while you can.
Oh no, this is a great job for kids who get out of school and get out of government schools, and have no intention of going to college, and want a cheap gig where they just get to sit around and boss other people around basically all day. This is a sweet gig for some 18-year-old who has no other life ambitions, because I'm pretty sure they get paid above minimum wage because, well, it's a government job, so they always get
paid
above.
And those benefits.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's, it's for the younger kids, people like that, sure, why not? It's like I said, especially the ones with not a lot of prospects. Who wouldn't want to jump on something like that? You know, unless you're like Nick and an anarchist at that age. But Nick, unfortunately, is a very rare breed.
Yeah. We need more of you, Nick.
Seriously, Nick. where are you at with your friends, man? Come on, you gotta be Mr. Yak Emperor. You're so busy building your army over there. You're not you're not helping further the cause for the rest of us. What's up with that?
Oh man. Yeah.
We're putting all the responsibility on you.
I know.
Like dealing with big yaks isn't enough. Now you have to control all the teenagers and the youth.
I have to control yak rebellions. I don't have time for evangelizing to the youth.
Hey, I don't recall any of us pushing you to be called the Yak Emperor. I think that was all you, buddy. You took that with great responsibility comes great power comes great responsibility. How's that line go? Something like that. Come on now.
I think that's it.
Oh, so yeah, the TSA. I hate them.
Yeah, pretty much my. They're up there. I was going to say my least favorite, but no, they're not my least favorite. But
no, the IRS and the CPS fight on the top of my list constantly.
Right.
It's a dog fight between the two. But the TSA is just as horrible. They're the reason I don't fly anymore.
Yeah. You know, I love flying. I love airplanes. And they've just ruined the experience now for me. I mean... I fly out of big airports here, you know, in the D.C. area, and I have to say, like, some of the airports, one of the airports in particular here isn't so bad, but the other two, oh, forget it. Yeah, and this time of year, I wouldn't want to fly at all. It's bad enough in the off season, but once school gets out and everybody's traveling, forget it. I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm that's the one thing I'm not really excited about going to New Hampshire for Porkfest. I have to go through a few airports on the way there. That's not going to be very fun. And I don't think I'm going to have enough time for me to, you know, I don't want to say mess with them, but provide some resistance.
Right, that's the thing. Like when I left Texas last year, when I was in the Austin airport, I got accosted by the TSA. I guess you could say they stopped me. They made me go through the body scanner. I was randomly supposedly selected, and of course something showed up, and I think I've talked about this on the show before, and they kept me for a little while, and you know, a female agent came over with gloves, and I'm like, this is not happening. And then they sent me through the scanner again, and whatever it was wasn't there, and they let me go. But my friend was waiting. She was going to record, because she'd already gone through the checkpoint and was waiting for me. And she said, oh, you look like you were going to kill somebody. And she was ready and waiting. But the last time I flew, though, I flew without incident. But I kind of chalked that up to a fluke. Like, that's the exception rather than the norm, I think, for me. I'm usually the one that gets selected for the... You know,
you're on the list.
License plate readers and all the fun. I am.
Because you look like a terrorist, Lisa. I mean, come on.
I'm so scary. All 5'1" of me. Horrifying.
deceptive. That's what it is. Deceptively small.
Tiny but mighty. Is that what Shakespeare said? I don't know. There's some quote. Just botching all the quotes tonight.
Yeah, I don't even want to deal with them at all. Luckily I haven't had to go anywhere that has required me to fly. I mean, I've driven up and down the East Coast multiple times anyway, and that's the bulk of my traveling. Whenever I do, is usually in either just north or south of myself in either direction. So I don't really have to worry too much about it. I mean, one of the last times I went to Florida, I did fly, but that's only because it was for my cousin's destination wedding that I only had time to be out of town for like less than 2 days. So there was no way I could drive to Florida, make the wedding, and drive back. So I had no choice. I had to fly.
Sometimes you got to do it.
Yeah.
Someday we'll all have our own little personal flying drones, though, to fly in, passenger drones. I've heard that's a possibility. I wish that or teleportation devices, they need to get on it. something's got to change. The free market's got to have an answer for this. Help.
Yeah.
Someone. Elon Musk, somebody's got to be listening.
Elon Musk. I don't know about him anymore.
Yeah, I know.
Didn't we talk about him last time we were on?
Yeah, he wasn't. Yeah. He's not the wonderful genius philanthropist that he makes himself out to be. But
bummer.
Somebody should get on it, though. Not him.
Someone.
anybody but Elon.
There's smart people out there.
I'd be happy with the transporters, unless, you know, as long as they work like in Star Trek and not like in Spaceballs. You remember that scene of Spaceballs when President Scrooge tries to go through it and he ends up half backwards? That doesn't look like it would be fun. I would not. That's one thing I would not volunteer to be a guinea pig for. I'm pretty brave, and I'm willing to try plenty of new things. That one, I think I'd rather have well-tested before I took a trip on one of those teleportation things.
I'm with you there. As much as I would love that technology, not so sure that I want to be one of the first to try it.
Yeah. Well, it's like, what was the kid? Was it Mikey in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory? The one who loved the TV and had ended up flying through the air because he got sent through the TV.
Yeah,
it was kind of that deal. Kind of be worried about if you come out all in one piece on the other side. I mean, in theory, it sounds great, though. Imagine how much you could get done if you could cut out all travel time.
Yeah,
literally.
No kidding. Gosh, I mean, the internet's already made things so much easier. We just need this. It's the next. It's the next step.
Yes. The next evolution.
Yeah. Speaking of that, you found a really interesting article about the science experiments with the unintended consequences.
Oh, yes. That was, where did I put that one?
That's a good one. 15 science experiments with great unintended consequences.
Yes. Well, do you have that up? Do you have that up? Because I actually somehow lost that one.
I do. Hang on one second.
Yeah, it was. It was basically talking about a lot of things don't actually get used for their intended purpose. Like, people will set out to invent something, and it turns out to be a complete flop. But then in other areas, if somebody gets a hold of it, it's like, hey, this actually has a use. And
So it's pretty neat.
Not even scientific failures are necessarily well, most of them aren't failures because you learn from them, but not even the failures can really be failures because you might be able to make another success story out of it.
Yeah, I think there was only one in this. No, not, I hadn't heard of any of these in this list. But we'll get back to that in a minute here.
Yeah, there was a couple that I remember not hearing about, but I found it. But yeah, we'll talk about that. In a bit.
Yep, after we go to the market.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
And go on the sidebar of the Freedom Fiend site. We now have Amazon links for Amazon US, Amazon UK, and Amazon Canada due to popular demand. Worms.
Discuss the article that I couldn't find. Now I found it.
Yay!
But the I was talking about it specifically talked about 15 science experiments that with great unintended consequences. And you said you weren't aware of any of these. I mean, there's definitely some things that I had no idea. The very first one, though, I actually did know, where they during World War II they set out to create a synthetic rubber. Because since Japan had occupied most of the countries in the Southeast Asia area, where most of the world's rubber trees were located, they had the market on rubber. So it was very hard. It was getting really hard to get, and without rubber, they wouldn't be able to have truck tires or gas masks. So the Allied forces were kind of freaking out. And an engineer from Connecticut tried to create a synthetic rubber, but which he he tried a bunch of experiments and they kept failing. But then he realized a couple, it was a year later, I think, he ended up realizing that by adding boric acid and silicone oil to it, all of a sudden this stuff that wouldn't work to, you know, replace rubber for tires and stuff like that would be a very bouncy and stretchy and able to copy things like comics.
I was going to say that.
Yes, silly putty. So
one of the
greatest toys, I guess, of the of the past couple of generations. Well, I guess video games have kind of blown that out of water now. But yeah, I still remember silly putty. I remember getting that as a kid and having so much fun with that, playing it with, you know, on the comics and stuff like that, and how it would you know, copy the thing exactly, and you'd be able to put it somewhere else, almost like a stamp.
Yeah, I always thought that was cool too. That was the best part. Yeah. And if we got color comics, it was even better.
Exactly.
You know, because sometimes you just have newspaper, and you're like, but the Sunday comics would come, and you're like,
yeah, it was the best thing to do with your silly buddy. Yeah, but here you go. Here's this guy. He was trying to serve his country, and he ended up serving the market instead. Go him. What a hero. That's the way I look at it. He failed at serving the state, but he succeeded in serving the market. That's a win.
That is a win. For sure. Yeah. I knew a little bit about the penicillin story. And I don't know, like, this is just a little side note here, but it just made me think of Houdini. So do you guys know how Houdini died?
Mm-hmm. I know the story, but I'm not recalling it at the moment. So why don't you refresh?
Yeah, well, it's so strange because you would think that he would have, you know, died in some kind of accident doing one of his stunts.
Yeah,
he actually died of appendicitis, because back then they didn't have antibiotics, which is one of the things that they used to treat appendicitis. So, you know, it was a really, really painful and horrible, prolonged, you know, terrible way to die. So, you know, definitely a really incredible discovery there.
Yeah, and that one was, Alexander Fleming, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
He was just supposed to be studying the bacteria. And actually, yeah, I knew a little bit about that too, but I didn't realize, I mean, what it says is here, he basically left on vacation and just kind of forgot about it. And when he came back, all of a sudden all these crazy things were happening that he was like, oh, this was very unexpected. And he stumbled into creating penicillin.
That's so really, really neat. Yeah.
Well, not creating. Well, maybe not even creating, but it's just, you know. Yeah, it's
pretty cool.
Yeah. So yeah, that one I knew a little bit, and then actually the one about bulletproof vests too. When they set out to make the plan was to try to make tires tougher, to make them like puncture resistant and stuff like that, so you weren't constantly having to replace tires if you got ran over a nail or something. But in the process, they used this liquid polymer that ended up getting turned into what they make most. So, you know, again, very, I mean, this unfortunately does help the state in some capacity, but it also helps the market. So yay, another win for the market. But I mean, there's a bunch of things on this. I mean, what else was there? There's,
I like the, one about the super glue. I thought that was kind of interesting. It's also a World War II, guy working, trying to make, I guess it was a new plastic sight for the rifles for the Allied forces. But he was trying, you know, other things, and he ended up creating super glue.
Yeah.
That was kind of neat.
Pretty neat, too.
Because super glue is awesome.
Yes. So many
uses. I've never used it.
You should get you some.
Useful.
I'll tell you why when we come back.
Well, maybe we can look for some in the market.
There you go.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
The Freedom Fiends now have a free app for your Android phone, tablet, phablet, or other chromed robot turd, available now from the Google Play Store, Amazon, and FreedomFiends.com. Lovingly handcrafted by head hamster Michael W. Dean, the artisanal Freedom Fiends radio app allows you to listen live, keep up with the podcast, chat directly with other fiends, get discounts on bigger buttons, brainwash yourself with a 24/7 random episode, and so much more. You know the Freedom Fiends is the best libertarian radio show in the world, but when the fiends aren't live, you can use the app to listen to LRN.FM from anywhere. The Freedom Fiends radio app is like having a virtual libertarian re-education camp in your pocket. It's your gateway to the exclusive, high-demand group that is the Freedom Fiends. Install the Freedom Fiends radio Android app today. It's free, and of course, it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Tell two friends, review it on Google Play and Amazon, prepare for the inevitable death of terrestrial radio, and get ready for LibPair with the Freedom Fiends radio app for Android. Worms. Worms.
Going to tell us why not only have you never used Crazy Glue, but you actually have a fear of Crazy Glue.
That stuff. Okay, so my grandmother, when I was a kid, was trying to fix her glasses, and she was using super glue, and she ended up gluing her fingers together and some fingers to her glasses. And I remember my mom made it out to sound like this stuff was cement, like permanent. It was never going to come off. They'd have to cut your fingers off to get it off of you. Like, she terrified us, and I just remember all this drama and chaos, and we have to take her to the ER and get this stuff off of her. So I have never used super glue for anything. I will duct tape stuff together before I will use super glue.
All right, now granted,
there's my phobia. Oh my gosh, earlier I said I didn't have any phobias. There it is, I guess. I'm not afraid of clowns. I don't like them. I'm not afraid of snakes, but I'm afraid of super glue, crazy glue, whatever you want to call it.
All right, that's a new one. That's definitely a new one. I mean, I can understand that, but don't you? I mean, that's something a little like what, rubbing alcohol or acetone? Acetone would work on that.
Is that super, really? Is that how easy it is? Mm-hmm. They made a big deal out of it back.
Yeah. Well, acetone is a wonderful thing. I keep a jug of it in my house at all times. It cleans so many things. Really,
it's
well,
good to
too.
Know.
But yeah, it's designed to dissolve nail polish, which is what, a hardened paint. So
yeah.
You know, that's it. If it does, if it can dissolve that, it'll dissolve most glues, including most super glues, as far as I know. At least to the point where you could separate your fingers, and it's not going to, you know, rip the skin completely off each finger.
She had us horrified. I think it's probably one of those things where she thought, you know what, my kids, like my sister was the one. She would kill me if she heard me talk about this. My sister was the one. She's 3 years younger, and she would get into everything. Like, she got this ball stuck in her mouth once and like swallowed pennies, cut her head open on a rusty nail in a garage, and had to have like 80 Ooh. Stitches in her head or something. Yeah, so she was always doing things like that, and come to think of it, maybe my mom was trying to scare her. Like, don't even think about it. I know that you're sitting here thinking you're gonna glue. She probably was, you know what, she was probably trying to save me, because my sister used to do things to me and like to my room, like, you know, and I would be the one that got in trouble. So she was probably trying to prevent my sister from attempting to glue my mouth shut or my hands together or something. Who knows? I may have to ask her about that. So, Mom, what's up with the... Why did you tell me this super glue is this evil thing that I had to never super touch?
Super glue is the devil.
It was like that, yeah.
You ever see Waterboy?
Oh, yeah.
Don't you go near that stuff, Bobby. Super glue is the devil.
That's pretty much, yeah, what it's like.
So, well, like I said, I'm pretty sure that stuff like that can dissolve it relatively easily. So maybe you shouldn't fear the super glue as much, Lisa. Maybe we should help you try to get over this phobia of yours.
So some kind of exposure therapy.
Face your fears. That's
breaks.
That's it. I have to go out and purchase tape for Pork Fest because I have a bunch of BIPCOT licenses I have to hand out and put up everywhere. And while I'm out purchasing tape, I think I will purchase an industrial-sized thing of super glue, and we'll run some experiments, and we will help you out. And we'll make it fun. Don't worry, it'll be great.
Super glued all over me. Watch.
I cannot deny that that's a possibility. not gonna discuss the probability of it, but
and I'll forget about it by then because I have a bad memory. So,
oh, beautiful, baby. Yeah, exactly. So
why did I just tell you that?
I don't know. Tell me what. So we were talking about this list anyway.
yeah. Are you going to talk about the next item? One of you guys can read the next one that we were discussing during the break about the discovery of a certain element.
Sure, I'll take it. I mean, unless you have a burning desire to take this one, Nick.
I'm not really too excited to read this one.
No, I'll take it. All right, so this one was, and this I must admit is my personal favorite. The goal of this one was to turn pee, that is urine, into gold. And then in parentheses, it says really. Why they didn't add the no really, I'm not sure, but really. The result, however, was the discovery of an element. This I had no idea about, but
I didn't either.
Apparently, there was a man named Henning Brand back in, in the 1600s, who was an alchemist, go figure. Mm-hmm. Who may have had, the reports are, as many as 1,500 gallons worth of urine in his basement. And he had gathered all of this urine as a get-rich-quick scheme.
I've been doing it all wrong all this time.
Yes, yes. You've been wasting all of your time and all of your resources by just flushing it away, Lisa. Silly, silly, silly girl. This alchemist, Mr. Brand, had convinced himself that by distilling human urine, he could somehow create gold. So for over 6 years, he went out and gathered samples wherever and from whoever he could. But the highlight to the story is that even though his hypothesis was obviously horribly, horribly, horribly incorrect, he did make a huge scientific breakthrough because he decided to boil some of his collection one day, and he noticed a weird glowing liquid at the bottom of a vial. And what he didn't know is he had just discovered phosphorus. So
fascinating.
Yeah, I would have to look into it to see what the discovery of other elements are. I may be going out on a limb here and saying I think this is the only one that was discovered through urine, but you never know. But yeah, that one was definitely my favorite.
I'm going to go down that rabbit hole tomorrow.
Yeah, oh gosh.
I will report back with my findings. I've got to know. And I also want to know how he approached people. Like, I mean, did he just go up to people on the street like, hey, man.
Pardon me. Would you mind? Would you mind if I had some of your... Do you have the urge to go to the bathroom at all? Would you like to take a walk? I could help you with that. I have a jar. You know, we don't have to go very far. I don't really... I don't know. Maybe he paid them. Maybe he got them drunk first, so they really couldn't control the fact. I'm not sure.
I gotta know.
You know, I mean...
Inquiring minds.
There's people now that are into, well, what they call water sports. Maybe there were people back then, too, that just were readily... Somebody asked them, sure, why not? You know, like, you know, maybe that's your thing. I have no idea. I really don't know what went on in the you know, mid-1600s. I couldn't really tell you
the climate. Oh my gosh. I just found online, I looked him up just now and I found the recipe for his.
Oh, did you? Oh no, now you have to test it. And not only that, now you have to video, well, not the entire process necessarily, but at least the experiment part.
I mean, I like chemistry. This is kind of interesting.
You may want to leave the collection process off the video feed, but...
I don't know. That could be fun. Hey, you guys.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to be family friendly to be able to put out on anywhere.
Probably not. No.
So, yeah. No. Oh gosh,
but Paul Lou,
the next time you go to visit him, he's gonna go out to the store, somebody's gonna come back, there's gonna be vials. Sorry, I've been stocking up. It was a long flight.
Oh my gosh.
Somebody was in the bathroom the whole time.
This guy.
All right. This conversation is so. Oh gosh. What now? What about him? What
else did he you used find his about wife's money. He used his wife's money to build a basement laboratory. Employed his stepson as a lab assistant, and then he started collecting. Oh, please tell me how he approached people. He stockpiled. Oh.
So wait. He built this place for the specific purpose of this experiment.
Yeah. Accounts from the time don't go into detail about where Bran got his raw material, or what his basement smelled like, or what the stepson thought of his new dad, but they do suggest that he stockpiled something like 1,500 gallons of the golden liquid. Then he set to work. Oh, yeah, there's a whole... Oh, he did use... Okay, here's what his process. Take a good large quantity of new-made urine from beer drinkers and evaporate it gently to the consistency of honey. Oh, it involves a lot of boiling and cooking and waiting.
I missed that part. How did he get it to a consistency of honey?
He evaporated it gently.
Oh, evaporated.
And then lots of boiling and lots of cooking and lots of waiting. So I wonder I'm sorry, we need to back up a little because I'm just... He was trying to make gold. This, I can't...
Well, I mean, this was...
Very interesting.
This was the mid-1600s. I think it was like 1660s, somewhere around there. Obviously, he accidentally discovered phosphorus. Where does phosphorus fall on the elemental scale? I don't even remember. So, there was still quite a few things that weren't known back then. So, I guess, you know, the alchemists, that was kind of their gig, wasn't it? They were into figuring out how to mix things and...
It's pretty cool.
Make potions. I mean...
It's definitely
hey listen story. I mean, you know how it goes. As long as the collection was voluntary, I can't really say much about it, you know.
Yeah, hey, I mean, you know, consenting adults.
And again, it was for science.
Yeah,
I mean, a little bit of weird science, but that's okay.
Weird science.
This is how we learn.
It's how we're
listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Hey, there's some Squiscar Squiggles from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. By sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom.
Fiendbot 3000.
Two designs for
Fiend Phone.
Bipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And Ask Me About My Worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1 1/4 inch. Now they're 1 3/4 inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Too busy doing, too busy talking to do talk radio here. We got some redemption here for the third act. I'm going to talk about this. This is really cool. I wished I had read this earlier. But this awesome arm that this guy has created. This guy ended up falling in between a train, two of the cars of this train, and he had some really, really bad injuries. He had a collapsed lung, a fractured skull, and his face. He got some rib fractures and some cracks in his spine, and he damaged his left arm, too, along with his left leg, and really kind of, he had severed below the knee. And he was at 22 at that time. He was a biological scientist, and he was at the Docklands Light Railway train in East London, and he fell between these cars and he had some really bad injuries. So they got him back in better health, and I guess he's created this arm. I didn't read beyond his injuries, so I guess Jeremy or Lisa could pick that up there.
Yeah, well, when after the accident first happened, obviously, I mean, like you said, the leg had been severed at the scene, so they had to do something about that right away. And the arm, they originally said they were going to try to save, but ended up having to amputate it because it did not go, the plan they had for trying to save it did not go very well, unfortunately. And he ended up with just like the standard issue stuff, because this is in the UK, so just whatever, what is it, the NIH, is that their national, what their health program is over there, their socialized medical system. You know, they just give him the standard stuff, which is just, you know, very stiff, mm-hmm. and not, you know, doesn't look very pretty either, but it's barely effective, and usually just has like a pincher on the end, you know, hand grip on the end of it or something like that.
Yeah, like a hook.
And, you know, which is just the standard prosthetics you would get in that situation. So he got an arm because they ended up having to amputate his entire arm after the trying to save what was left of it didn't go well. And they gave him, you know, the half a leg because he'd already been missing the half the leg. And he, you know, in the process, you know, he was in a coma for like 12 days after everything happened. But they patched him up. They gave him all this stuff. And, it was a year after the fact, he became what they call part cyborg in an experiment, because he's a big video gamer, and he just happened to see an online advertisement from a gaming company called Konami, which I remember them. They've been around forever. Mm-hmm. I remember them making like Nintendo and possibly Atari games too, actually, I think. So they've been around for a long time. And they were actually looking for an amputee interested in road testing a futuristic prosthetic limb. So, since here's this guy, you know, here's this biologist, young guy, has, you know, pretty much as a near-death experience as you can have with all that stuff happening to him, all the blood he lost, and now trying to get his life back on track, you know, what has he really got to lose? So, sure, I'll take a shot at this. So, he was accepted into this program. And he ended up getting this bionic arm, which looks kind of crazy too.
Yeah, it does.
It has not only does it have an actual like hand on the end of it that he can use, that what how he describes it is it's soft but firm, and it's really nice to shake. and he describes, you know, it's a hand, not a device. And then he goes on to talk about how, you know, there was, you know, either the claw or, you know, some other thing that wasn't really a hand on the standard issue stuff. So this was that alone is a huge improvement. But it also comes with a bunch of other handy features. It has a laser light on it, which they claim is just for effect, but I'm sure you could find some use for a laser pointer or something like that, and it's always handy, so that's kind of neat. It has a torch, which helps them when it's dark out, which, again, could also probably have multiple uses. It has a USB port, so he can charge his phone and other things, because this entire unit is powered by a battery. And it has a built-in watch. And last but not certainly not least, just off the shoulder, it has its own little drone.
So neat.
I'm jealous. How about you guys? But good for him. It's amazing. But
it's fascinating. Very cool story.
So, there's our redemption. Yeah. Even if you get horribly mangled by a train, you can have a drone on your shoulder, man. I mean, come on. Ain't technology grand?
It is.
It's been a lot of fun, guys.
It has.
Do it again sometime.
Definitely. Yes. I got plans for us.
Oh, gosh.